Sorry, I'm late.
Well, we started like 6 minutes late this morning. It wasn't the producer's fault today. It was me and S.
Yeah.
We arrived like a little bit late, and I don't know about you, but I really struggled to get out of bed this morning.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It is freezing.
Struggle. And also things take a little bit longer the older you get.
I don't know if it's that, hey. I mean, it's just as quick. Listen, as long as I don't have to, and I know girls have to faff, they have to do like makeup and they have to get their hair right. And I mean, I just think about you've got earrings, which I never have to worry about.
Makeup.
You know? Yeah,
look,
all that sort of shit.
I didn't bother with the hair this morning.
Oh, but I mean,
that
still takes effort.
For that.
That still takes effort.
No, exactly.
Huh? Yeah, how was your weekend?
It was good.
Mm.
Went out for lunch with the family, which was nice. We're slipping into a habit of doing that every Sunday.
Yeah. But Sundays are kind of, like, I don't really like doing too much stuff on a Sunday. And the only exception to doing absolutely zero is family stuff, lunches, whatever. But it's never early in the morning and it's never late at night on a Sunday.
No.
It's almost as if the night creeps in on both sides of that. You sleep late on a Sunday morning, no matter what, and you absolutely get into bed early on a Sunday night. That's kind of my dreary routine. Anyway, I hope you had a more fun weekend than by the sound of Leanne and mine. And let's see what we've got going on here. Lots of people busy in the comments already. Apparently, listen to this. I'm watching a documentary where they say piracy is making a return. This is Bitcoin Boot. Bitch never stopped. I downloaded about 20 books on sourdough a month ago. Okay, so are we talking about pirates as in arg? Guys on ships who
like
are
the Somalian,
that's a thing,
type thing, yeah.
And there's that, and then there's of course the piracy that's going on online.
Mm. And then how does that connect to the sourdough books? That was my next question.
Well, maybe it's books about making sourdough.
Sourdough pirates?
Books on sourdough. No, so he's downloading actual PDFs.
The piracy, okay.
So piracy as in stealing other people's stuff or stuff that you're supposed to pay for.
Mm.
I just think when it comes to watching a movie once or a TV series once or whatever, I know that there's a huge amount of work that's gone into that. I know that it's the intellectual property of someone else. I get that, right? Now, I in ordinary circumstances, I'm absolutely pro whatever kind of property rights people can bring to bear.
Mm.
But I think if you watch something once, you shouldn't have to pay an extortionate amount of money for it. And I think that what happened was, I mean, you remember when we used to buy music, okay? And that's one of the reasons this show is for free. We don't charge people a subscription. And I know lots of podcasts are doing that. And maybe we should have. Some people would argue that that would have been the smarter economic move. But I just think, you know, if you're going to be listening to our show and you support us the way that you do, and when we bring clients and partners on to do stuff with us, the audience supports us. They get that we have to make money to make the podcast. Mm. But I don't want to charge people for the podcast. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So if you're going to watch a TV series or something, and you're going to watch it once, and you're going to access it through one of these expensive subscriptions that people have in place, you know, good, you're supporting the content business, you're helping to make that series, you're helping to make movies like that. But I don't see a future for it, because that attitude is very few and far between. Most people are like, oh, please, if I can get it here, I'll get it. And I've done that too, right? Like if I want to watch an older movie that I'm not going to be able to find on one of these channels, then I'll download it illegally.
Mm.
And then I'll watch it, and then I'll delete it. Not like I'm keeping it and making money for myself. Not like I'm unselling it to somebody. But I don't know. It's such a messy minefield, this, because there's no real solid answer. I mean, there is in terms of the law. You're obviously guilty of piracy. Mm. You know, but
you go to jail for that?
Well, I don't know. If anyone says that I should be punished for downloading music or a movie or a TV series, I'll just take them and show them the tens of thousands of rands I've spent on CDs and DVDs over the years. And I'll be like, okay, so, you know, you can have a go and you can say I'm a terrible person and I steal, but look at all this that I've bought that just sits there gathering dust now. I mean, I don't even have, I don't know about you, I don't have a CD player or a DVD player.
No. Have you still got your CDs?
Yeah, tons of them.
I've got a CD player in my car still. But I'm not sitting listening.
Do you ever think about the fact that when we were buying music, if you bought one of those double albums, like I remember the most expensive one was like Michael Jackson's History.
Yes.
Which had this pamphlet in it and, you know, there were like photographs and there were lyrics and there were two CDs and the
beautiful CDs artwork.
The CDs were like laser, you know, they were kind of almost like 3D images on them. And I remember that cost me 350 Rand for that album. And that was a long time ago. So that money is worth, you know, in 200 Rand in those days' time, or 300 Rand in those days' time, is now probably 1,000 Rand.
Yeah.
So if I look at this massive collection of CDs I've got, I must have spent, it could even be hundreds of thousands.
I was going to say, it's more hundreds, yeah.
So then if I've done that, do I need to feel bad about the fucking TV series that I'm only going to watch once that I downloaded last week? Really? Really? Is that worth, like, going after someone for? I don't know. What do you guys, do you steal everything, James? Oh, really? You stream. Flex, you steal? As Flex stealing, as usual. Ass, you steal?
I used to.
You're such a goody
music,
two-shoes,
but no,
though.
I am too. I am yeah,
I mean, you still got your e-tag, haven't you?
No, I think I've taken that off now.
Leanne had an she's the only person I knew who had an e-toll e-tag.
I paid my TV license for the last time the other day, even though I don't watch TV. And now I'm in the cancellation process.
Okay.
But no, I subscribe to a few channels. But then also I use other people's passwords, which is...
Can you cancel your TV license?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you say, that you don't have a TV anymore?
Yeah, I don't know if they send someone over to check, but I'd best move mine before I do.
And they could come and look at mine and they could just like dust it off.
Yeah,
and they
exactly.
They would know for a fact that I'm not watching TV.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So... let's take a look at what's going on here. Thanks for that little diversion into the world of piracy. Mm-hmm. Carlos Santos says, I just moved my folks out of their house. They've been there for 45 years. Threw out a fax machine, two CD players, two DVD machines, and a Walkman. But the CD Walkman. You remember those?
Yes.
And loads of pre-menopause tampons.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, look, cleaning out my parents' house. They lived there for 22 years. And after my dad passed,
stuff.
He was such a hoarder, a neat hoarder.
Stuff.
Of things that he might fix. Yeah. We found 50 used toothbrushes.
Really?
You know, for cleaning bikes and cleaning.
How many?
50.
Jesus. Wow.
How many do you need?
Well, I think I'm going to get home after that and just throw away all my old toothbrushes. I'd be terrified that someone will come and go, why are there so many old toothbrushes lying around? How useful for cleaning. Strayermate says, sorry for being negative, which is a great way to start a sentence, by the way. But just an interesting stat for all. Did you know that the most suicides occur on a Monday worldwide? I can fully relate because I usually feel super suicidal on Mondays myself. Mm. I think it's maybe that dread of going back to work for some people who really hate their jobs. And also the end of the weekend, and it's the middle of winter. You know, Americans have that, what do they call it, Black Monday or Blue Monday or whatever. Black Friday is the one with the buying stuff, right?
Yes, no,
okay,
not
so that's,
that one.
That's fine.
It might be blue.
It could be Blue Monday. But that's the first... Monday, it's in the middle of the Northern Hemisphere winter, and it's the first day back at school and back at work, and apparently that's the absolute depth of despair for most people. So I suppose ours would probably be around now.
Yeah.
You know, what, either last Monday or this Monday. But you'll be fine. Don't do anything stupid. You'll be all right.
Nothing lasts forever.
Yeah. Well, okay, thanks for that very positive thing. You mean not the bad feelings?
The bad feelings don't last forever.
Okay, I take it back. Sorry.
But neither do
thought
people.
You were like, well, neither do people. Yeah. Oh, my God. I only steal if I cannot get the content legally, says Carl. Mm. Like if it's on Netflix or Apple or Showmax. If it's not on there, then he'll obviously get it illegally. We use fax machines, says Christian. We still use them. It's more secure than email.
Oh, that's true.
Daylight saving causes a lot of heart attacks, according to him too. Sure. I don't know how that works. I mean, maybe because people, they don't set their clock back or forward, and then they get the time wrong, so they miss meetings, or they're late for work, or
have a heart attack.
I mean, that's a really stupid reason to have a heart attack. Oh, daylight savings time! I can feel my heart's going to explode. All right. Reminds me of the Boomtown Rats song, I Don't Like Mondays. What a great song. Dying of heat on this side, says Elizabeth. Where the hell are you that you're dying of heat? I did see that the English are having a very hot time at the moment.
Yes.
You know, for them, anything
and
over...
And they moan about everything,
oh, my
too.
God. Anything over 30, they're like, oh, so bloody hot. I feel like in Benidorm, I am.
Yeah.
Come on.
There's one woman I follow, and she's quite crude, but she's great. She lives in London. And she's off to lunch to go and meet friends, but she has to take the tube.
Yeah.
She's deciding what to wear, and she's like, but the heat... My minge flaps are sticking everywhere. And she's showing these dresses that give her ventilation.
My minge flaps. Oh, Jesus. No, this weekend was okay, but this morning I just suddenly thought, fuck, it's suddenly cold. Mm. You know, my car gives me a little warning if it's under, I think it's under 3 degrees or something.
Yeah.
We haven't hit
to, like, put the snow...
Yeah,
chains
the little
on.
Snow thing. Well, yeah, but the little snow symbol comes up and everything. I haven't hit the minuses yet. I don't know about you.
Oh.
Have you?
My car doesn't give me the temperature.
Oh, okay. Your car just basically, you're just grateful it stays together.
Yeah.
You're just grateful it can get you to work.
Yeah, I mean, I have to use a gas heater in it. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I don't know if it's accurate or not because there was frost all over the thing this morning, and you know when your car is covered in like a layer of ice, especially if it's on the windscreen, it's kind of a pain. It's a big problem.
I haven't had that in a long time, and I park outside.
Yeah, I park outside too.
But I remember growing up when I had my first car, I always had to get out of not a kettle but a room temperature water.
Yeah, and then pour that on the windscreen.
I haven't had that in ages.
Well, let's not ask for it.
No.
We don't want it. Thank you. All right. 35 out in California. Okay, is that where you are, Christian? You're in California. Gareth, what do you think about all the GNU politics, all fart and no poo from the DA? Well, I'm so embarrassed. I put out a tweet saying South African politics is so uninteresting, but I left off the N on South African. So I basically said South Africa politics is so uninteresting. So I sounded really stupid. But I think anyone reading it will know that was... unintentional.
I would have deleted it.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing to have a like grammar or spelling error, right?
Yeah.
I did it a while ago with another one. And then I suddenly saw, but you only see after. Maybe later that day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And I don't read the comments, so I don't know. But then I saw it and I was so embarrassed. But that's my point, is South African politics at the moment, it's just so dull. It's so childish. You know, you're gonna hear from people who have old grudges that the rest of us don't care about. I kind of just wish this GNU would not work. And I know that that's a controversial thing to say because some people are very attached to the idea. They're like, oh, but then we're going to get back to a stage where the ANC does everything it wants. They can't. They don't have a majority. They cannot form a government on their own. They'll have to pick up the rats and mice parties and do stuff with them. You got Gayton shouting and screaming about stuff. You've got Herman Mashaba shouting and screaming about stuff. You got Helen Ziller saying, oh, we've got it. This is a red line and we're not going to cross it. I don't know. I really feel all of that is just theatrics.
Yeah.
The people of this country are just, we are not impressed by you politicians. When will you guys realize that the people of South Africa are just so bored with you? Like, I think we are just bored. Mm. So the same fucking people who've been involved in politics for the last 30 years, they all just cuck at it. It's so uninspiring. We've got serious problems we wish would be addressed. And instead of that, they're all like power jockeying and looking for a quick fix to some very, very serious problems you can't just put a Band-Aid over.
Yeah.
Clearly, economic growth is not a big thing. They're hypocrites. I mean, this president of ours, he fired some deputy minister who's in the DA, right? This is what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, because you guys maybe know more than I do. I didn't watch any of it over the weekend as it unfolded. But there's such hypocrisy there. I mean, he's got people in his cabinet, ANC people, that Cyril Ramaphosa could fire for a number of reasons, multitudes of reasons. I mean, Angie Motshekga in defense has basically been the worst defense minister we've ever had. You know, we lost those people in the Congo. We couldn't even evacuate people in the Congo. I don't know that we have one working airplane in the Air Force at the moment. Again, I stand to be corrected. If you know more than I do, please let us know. But that should, how can you call yourself, in all honesty and seriousness, a minister of defense when you have an Air Force without a working plane?
It's literally your only job.
I mean, I think Lesotho have a better Air Force than we do at the moment.
Yeah.
And Lesotho is the size of my fucking pantry. Lesotho, great country, Lesotho. I don't even know where the hell that is. It's not a, I mean, here we've got the US that take B-2B bombers and fly them for 40 kilometers without refueling them and drop a 30-ton bunker buster bomb into Fordo in Iran, and it all goes swimmingly. And then they've got these unbelievably skilled pilots and military strategists and like people who are figuring out the plan and how it's going to work. And what do we have? We like Angie with her finger up her nose and sitting in a, I don't know, sitting in a study at home.
Yeah.
Running the Air Force, which has like a paper jet. Like, what is that? And then he fires this guy, apparently part of it. I don't know again, because I didn't pay that much attention. Part of it is that there's huge embarrassment at the moment because Paul Mashatile, the deputy president, his wife is apparently like knee deep in the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's linked
to the running it.
She's linked very directly to the company that's just been given the tender to run the lottery, which to me is just such obvious corruption. You know how many people they play that lottery? I mean, there was a time where I used to play it too. You just really hope you win because you need a solution to problems, and financially, you just look at it and go, well, I can't work my way out of this. I'm going to take a shot at the lottery. And now if you take a look at the lottery and it's run by all these crooked people, I mean, you might as well just write a check. You might as well just give the money you would have given to the lottery hoping to win. You might as well just give that to the Mashatiles, you know? And so the president's got real problems. And he couldn't give us an explanation for why he fired this minister.
It also brought up the question I saw was, do we even need deputy ministers? Which
we don't.
No, we don't really. I mean, how many days are you not going to be able to do your job a year? And surely you do have a team around you anyway. I don't know.
Well, Kevin says, start a libertarian economy-first focused young party, and we need a Javier Milei to avoid the socialist slide. Yeah, I just don't know that party politics as it's constituted in South Africa is going to be the way to go. I believe that we have some of the best NGO, I would say, activist groups, and by that I'm very, very
not
specific about which groups I'm talking about. There are guys like Sakalicha, who we had in the studio before, you know, Russell Lamberti and Pete, and the two of them are doing unbelievable work, and they are helping little towns, helping businesses, they're helping individuals to stand up to the state. Those are the kinds of things that will get us out of this, not political parties. Political parties are just always looking for your vote. So they're always going to kiss your ass, but never ever do anything for it. Jared says, changing the players won't change the game. Here in Canada, for example, we got a first-time politician as our prime minister who vowed to fix everything. Literally nothing has improved. Yeah. And Canada, listen, there's some very stupid things happening in Canada at the moment. I also want to say, because we spoke about this last week, that New York, the biggest city in America and probably the most famous city in the world, is looking likely to elect an immigrant. He was born in Uganda, I think. Muslim.
No
socialist.
Way.
Yeah, socialist. Who wants to have government-run grocery stores. Government-run grocery stores. Just think about that for a second. He wants to have, I think it's $60 million set aside so that kids can get sex change surgery. Kids.
Oh, wow.
He yeah, this is the guy. He thinks that it should be a sanctuary city where no illegal immigrants are sent home. What is the other thing that he wants to do? He's got a bunch of policies.
Taking like him seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Democrats in New York, they just love him. So I just said over the weekend, or it could have been last week already, like, woe unto New York, which used to be my favorite city in the world. Because I don't see how, if you elect someone like that, it's going to work out well for New York. I mean, it's already been backsliding under the last few mayors. And he was... this guy, what is his name? Mamdani. Yeah, Zohan Mamdani. Anyway, he, I mean, he's been giving a bunch of interviews and everything. And my chief problem with him is not the immigrant or the Muslim part, but the socialist part and the actual policies which he's talking about. It's just crazy that someone with those ideas could be taken seriously in a city like New York. So New York's going to get what it deserves, good and hard. And I feel bad for the place because I really love that city. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But of course, you know, you express an opinion about how someone's policies are shit, or you don't like the fact that they're a socialist, and you immediately you're being called xenophobic and anti-immigrant and Islamophobic and anti-Muslim. And I just think, oh, please, you know, those labels just don't have the strength they used to have. Mm. It's weak tea these days. You know, even calling someone racist, misogynist, Islamophobic. You kind of roll your eyes when people throw those words around at each other.
Yeah.
Because it's just become so twee. Mm. It's like, oh, that's sweet. Do you still play with your soft toys? It's not, you can't take people seriously anymore. The power of accusing someone of those things is just weak.
Yeah.
It's not so strong.
Yeah, but it's also, you can have your opinion here. I'm just surprised at New York's people that I would never have expected that they would have voted for someone like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, very surprising.
This is very much the rise of the Bernie Sanders far left in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, he's a flock.
And you know what? In some ways, I suppose you've got to just let people sign their own death warrant, because a city like New York, it won't take long under those policies for it to completely collapse. And you've seen it happen in American cities so far. You've seen it in Detroit. Mm-hmm. You've seen it in San Francisco. There he is. Zoran. There he is. What a guy. Cut red tape. Support small businesses. He's not supporting small businesses. He also wants to raise taxes. He needs to get, I don't think it's $81 billion that he needs to raise to pay for all his social programs. So he reckons what they'll do is they will tax people who've moved out of New York State and out of New York City, but they'll carry on taxing you if you lived there somewhere in the last 5 years.
Oh, no.
Isn't that insane?
That sounds like a South African policy.
I know, and don't let them get any ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it's just madness. Oh, by the way, we don't have Dr. Hanan today. He's just too busy and important
for us
today. On
Suicide Monday. That's
I know.
A problem.
It isn't Suicide Monday. We just think it might be.
Maybe he's just really busy because of it.
Yeah. B2 pilots flew for 36 hours straight, says Bitcoin Boot. That's about right. I think the planes can fly for 40 hours, but it was 36. There's a whole street of Mormon grocery stores in New York, so he can fly a kite with that idea. Meet the Zohan. Slippery Pickle says, I've had no water the whole weekend, no power half of yesterday. Thank God DSW picked up, or the government would have scored a hat trick against me. You see, that's the kind of stuff that makes me think our government's just so busy being distracted by bullshit.
The first thing I saw this morning.
Yeah.
It's small. It's Johannesburg. It's Johannesburg's deeds office.
Yeah.
But this just shows you the level of things that are crumbling. So the deeds office has closed. I don't know if you know. And that's because the staff refuse to climb the stairs.
Why? Because they're just too lazy.
The elevators are broken.
How many floors do we know?
I'm not quite sure. But they've,
I mean, if it's 20
stopped.
Floors, I'd be a little bit annoyed,
yeah,
too.
I mean, look at the SABC. We had 20 floors there, didn't we?
Yeah, but we never had to go to the top unless you were in serious trouble.
No, exactly.
We were too unimportant to ever go right to the top. But it was, I know that there were stages where the offices, which were on the 8th floor, we had to climb up those 8 floors of stairs.
Yeah, and it's a lot. But
I was at the gym in Joburg here a while ago, and that's about 5 or 6 floors up. Jesus, that was the whole workout. I got to the top. I was like, well, I don't need to do this anymore.
Running back down. Yeah. But no, so basically what happened is no one's working. So the office registered just 3,400 property transfers in 2025. It's this year so far, compared to 38,500 for all of 2024. So what's happening is that estate agents have now started to have to take loans because they can't pay commissions. Everything is crumbling. Estate agents are like, they're in shit.
It's a real problem.
And if you are buying or selling right now, it
huge
could take
problem.
A year for your right. house to your.
And can you imagine the drag that
clear?
Because most people are selling because they need the money, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are moving, so they're going to need the money for the move.
They'll only get it in
right.
years' time.
I mean, that's outrageous. And again, this is a Joburg thing.
It's
so
the lifts broke down.
But this is the municipality in
Joburg,
right?
It's a small thing, but it just is a
Dada Morero,
Dada
Morero, get your act together. You are a disgrace and an embarrassment. Like, what is wrong with our leaders that they cannot do what they're elected to do? You have a job as mayor. Let's see if you can get the lifts at the deeds office working. I don't want to hear about you're going to save South Africa, you're going to get rid of every pothole, you're going to help small businesses, or you know, say platitudes like that. Just fix the lifts at the deeds office, dude. Do that. That should be your whole plan for this Monday, the 30th of June. You should be like, I'm getting... You know how easy it would be to fix this town if you just got someone in there who was empowered enough to be able to make decisions and see them through. And you just, I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he's like, he would love to be mayor. And I said to him, really? He's like, he would go down Louis Buerta here in Joburg, where they've put in those stupid bus lanes, and he would just bulldoze them down. He'd say on day one, get rid of all these dumb bus lanes. They've put one here on Catherine Street.
He said, no, I can't turn right.
What a stupid...
I have to go into the bus lane, right?
What a stupid idea.
It's so stupid.
It's added traffic. It hasn't made it easier.
And where were the buses? I didn't see one.
There aren't any. So it's just dumb. And we should bulldoze these. He said he would immediately grant like thousands of small business licenses to all the vendors and street sellers and everybody else and stop them being arrested by cops. And basically extorted for money. There's so many things that could be done. And get the deeds office lifts working.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what an embarrassment.
There are other offices as well in Joburg where it's just become a fire hazard. They haven't sorted out boxes and boxes of papers.
Look, I'm sure also there are a lot of fat, useless, lazy bureaucrats who work at the deeds office. It's probably like 2 floors, let's be fair. It might be more, and if it is more, cool. I've been on your side. I've been on your side the whole way this morning. I'm like, they must fix the lifts. But if it's 2 floors, you could drag your fat ass up 2 floors. I mean, I walk up the stairs here every... Thanks, Leanne. There we go. Yeah, very good. I walk up 2 floors. Do you guys use the lifts or do you use the stairs? Flex? Flex, you use the stairs? Okay, both Flex and
I
James
use the
do.
Lifts, but only because I've just
well, you were crippled just
surgery.
A short while. Yeah, I know. Okay, no good deed goes stamped.
Yeah, you see.
Yep. Also, we buy cars are getting exposed for selling scrap cars.
Oh.
Ooh, that's scary. Imagine you buy a car and you're like, oh, this looks all right. Kick the wheels. You know how you do a quick pre-inspection. Get in. Sounds like it starts. Drive a little bit. Clank. Everything starts falling apart. And you've paid good money for that.
It makes me think of the taxi I was behind on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
Towards a Rivonia off-ramp.
Uh-huh.
In the fast lane. And I just heard something crash. And the whole taxi fell apart.
Oh, my God.
It literally, it went, k-gung, k-gung. You know that guy who was on TV where his chair broke at the SABC?
Oh.
It was like that. It was like, wheels came off and it just went on its belly. The doors started coming off.
Dirk says, there are old photos of Cape Town and Joburg with trams running. I couldn't believe my eyes that we had trams at one point. Now we don't even have streets. Yeah, you know, that's another thing. I mean, you could complain and you can compliment. And I'm always happy to give compliments when things are being done. Like when I see them tidying up the highway and, you know, cutting the grass and fixing the street signs. We've got street signs that have been, like someone obviously crashed into it like 8 years ago and it's rusted now and it's bent and gnarled. And no one's even thinking to fix that shit. We've completely lost our pride. And Joburg, whether you like it or not, and I happen to like Joburg very much, Pretoria, which I also happen to like very much, these have become shithole cities. The roads are a mess. The infrastructure's falling apart. People can't go and register properties at the deeds office. I mean, this is banana republic stuff. And if you think that's okay and you're willing to turn a blind eye to that stuff, you probably also live in like squalor yourself. You probably, you know, you're like rummaging for stuff around your house and you it's a mess and things are sticky and gross and dirty and your toilet's all blocked up. And you're okay with that. You know, that's the kind of person you are. You're a filthy pig and you don't mind living in a filthy pig house and therefore you don't mind living in a filthy pig city. Mm. But I kind of have a problem with that.
Yeah. Especially where you see efforts like, is it on the corner of Sandton and Winnie Mandela? There used to be like a little stone and sign that had been put into the sand saying Joburg or something.
Oh, yeah.
And succulents and just a little bit of city pride.
Oh, yeah,
corner.
I know exactly where it is. Yeah.
And now it's like, it's just crumbling. People are walking over it. There are weeds. You can't see it anymore. Something as small as that.
Well, again, you can't talk about having human dignity. You can't expect anyone to respect you if you don't respect yourself. And the city of Joburg has no respect for itself, clearly. And it is our politicians, largely, because they're dreadful and they can't organize a piss-up in a brewery. But it's also just the people of Joburg. You see people, you know, squatting and taking a shit next to the road. And you're like, well, you know, if that's how you want to live, if that's how you think you deserve to live, then that's what you're going to get. The world is going to treat you the way that you expect to be treated. And if you expect to be treated like a homeless vagrant in a city where everything's falling apart, then that's what'll happen. And I just don't know what to do about this. I saw one of the tenderpreneurs took delivery of his six-wheeled G-Wagon in Germany last week.
Oh, you see.
Yeah, you see, that's also the other thing is if you think you can hide the state of things by buying yourself material possessions that make you feel better for a short while, it doesn't, because he's still going to drive that G-Wagon on shitty roads. Yeah. You know, it's people who buy a Lamborghini or a Ferrari and they can
What's
afford
the
it.
Point?
Again, I have no problem with that, but you're still going to have to drive it on the roads here.
Mm-hmm.
And these roads are cuck for that. You're going to be replacing tires the whole time. Not worth it. Bree Street is still out of order, says Bitcoin, but system, she's down. Yeah, that was the street that exploded.
Yes.
Right?
All the gas underneath.
That's so embarrassing. Oh, it's so embarrassing. It's just, we have a street that exploded and nothing's been done.
Yeah.
It's like 2 years later. And again, I do want to say this because people will find some piece of this taken out of context, but I do love Joburg. I love this place. I love the people. I love the energy. I just think we deserve a little bit better in terms of leadership, management, infrastructure, maintenance, responsibility, like personal responsibility. Is that so hard to ask?
There's an unclaimed pavement triangle near where I live.
An unclaimed pavement triangle.
You know, with grass, and it would usually, the city's not going to attend to it.
No.
And so our little three streets that it crosses gets together every now and then. And they'll have, instead of their gardener doing their garden, they'll donate their gardener for the day. They'll bring out their own lawnmowers.
Uh-huh.
They'll bring out some new plants, do some planting. And it's the people who are trying who are the most upset by everything.
Yeah, because they have they have that self-respect.
They have the pride. Yeah.
You know, if you have a little bit of value and you value yourself, then you want things around you to look valuable too and look cared for. Mm. Yeah, you can just tell, like, some people just raised by wolves. Like, literally, they're just
not raised at all. That's the problem.
Their whole world could be put into a black rubbish bag and just thrown onto a dumpster because it's just so worthless. And those are the kind of people who, they don't care if they... I've seen, there's this one street near where I live, where someone has gone and chopped the streetlights down. So all of them are like this on the ground. All of them. And I mean, you can tell those streetlights were put up like in the 70s or whatever because they're old.
Yeah.
But they've been deliberately chopped. I think people may be stealing the wires or something.
Yes.
But you drive along this road, maybe 20 of these streetlights all down on their side. And you think, really?
Mm-mm.
Imagine being the person who's, I'm going to now sabotage the streetlights on the street. I'm going to take down all of these streetlights for copper wire, which you'll maybe get a few thousand rand for. That isn't yours, by the way. It's not like this is people starting a business. These are criminals. This is public infrastructure you should be arrested for. I mean, I think we should actually institute a law at the moment where if you destroy government property willfully and you try to steal government property and you destroy the environment, like you litter and you pour sewage directly into rivers and things, you should actually get your hands cut off for something, like something draconian and dramatic, right? Because I promise you it would stop. But there's no will to get these things sorted out. So we just carry on like living in a, what did I call it earlier? Filthy pig.
Yeah, in a pig's time. And then the thing is, everything's taking doubly long because of the GNU and because of the arguing and all the steps that everything now has to go through.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So, okay. So, what do we do? I suppose you just have to
keep on keeping on.
Okay. They cut down the street lights for tenders for new ones. Those lights are 100,000 rand. On tenders, are they? That seems ridiculous. But these have never been replaced. I could tell you, 12 years that I've been there, never been replaced. So I don't know if that's happening. I think they're just stripping it for the wires or scrap metal. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it really makes me sad because that's wanton destruction. And if we can't solve these little problems, I don't know what we will. Hey, James, do you want to come and tell us about the sport? Because we don't have Hanan today, so you may as well have his slot. Let's find out what's going on over there. And then we've also got, I'm so excited about this because we were meant to have him on a while ago, and for some reason we couldn't get the internet connection up and working. But Des Latham is going to be joining us. Des is a South African broadcaster, writer, podcast host. He's got his tremendous History of South Africa podcast. And I've watched a few episodes of that, and it's just going to be so nice for him and I to talk about history. I'm afraid Leanne's just going to have, she's going to have sleep.
I'll have a lie down.
Yeah, Leanne will have a sleep, but you'll find it interesting. I mean, he does such a great show.
Yeah.
All right, James, what do you have for us?
Hello, everyone.
Hello, James.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good. How was your weekend?
Great. Bok Rugby is back, so the vibe in South Africa is different.
So it rained in Cape Town, as Ben had warned us it might.
It's flooding in Sea Point.
I didn't watch any of it, so I have no idea who won.
54-7 is who won.
We won.
We won.
Okay, good.
Okay. Easy win for the box.
Because I know I'm going to bump into someone today, and they go, "Oh, that game was great." I'm going to have to say something, and now at least I can go, "Yeah, it was amazing." Hey, 50 what?
54-7.
54-7, and then he's going to go, "Yeah, you know, especially those last 10 minutes, that's fucking close." No, 54-7, motherfucker. No, it wasn't. Yeah, but you know, what I really like is when one left center managed to tackle, and by then, I like you would for a history podcast, and my eyes are rolling back in my head. I just can't even talk rugby with people. But you tell me what the salient points are, James, so I can get away with it.
Well, that's pretty much it. 54-7 is a huge scoreline.
Okay.
With Marnie Lebok kicking all of his kicks.
Marnie Lebok.
Marnie Lebok.
Lebok. Lebok.
And then what you can also tell the Afrikaans...
I mean, you were born to be a Springbok.
Yeah,
that
name. You're literally Lebok.
What you can tell the Afrikaans person that you're speaking to about the Bok game...
It's not an Afrikaans person. I just always think rugby fans... I was associated with an Afrikaans voice. But it could be anyone. Could be someone like Sandile, you know. He's a big rugby fan.
And Dial.
Yeah, and then they come and talk to me and they're like, oh, yeah, that game was great. Eh? I really have nothing to contribute.
You can contribute that the Bok are playing Italy this coming
Thanks,
Saturday.
James. You see, this is why I pay attention to you on a Monday. All right, so
I wouldn't.
Yeah, so basically, everyone
as he goes, yeah, that's a lucky game. Eh? I can go, yeah, but Italy's next. And he's going to think I'm a fan. Good,
exactly.
Okay.
So international rugby season is well underway. Even the British and Irish Lions are doing their thing. They were in Australia this weekend, kicking off their Australian tour. They're playing some clubs rugby, if that could have been worded differently. They
it's
played the
club rugby's.
Clubs rugby's.
Clubs rugby's. Yeah.
They played the Western Force this weekend. In big news, though, I wanted to do something where we cover like South Africans who have won some stuff in the last few months.
Yeah.
Dirk Coetzee mentioned it last week, and South Africans have kind of shone in the spotlight in the last few
years. We do really well in particular in individual sports, you know, things like golf and swimming, and that's always where we excel. Our team sports, we sometimes do really well, and sometimes we just cuck.
They keep trying to sell, been amazing.
They keep trying to sell this women's, is it cricket?
Could be women's rugby. They start a women's rugby league.
I don't know. Anyway, they keep trying to sell this to me every time I happen to be near a TV. They're like, who's Desiree Ellis? She's the coach of the?
The women's cricket.
Okay, yeah. They keep trying to sell me that shit. I don't want to watch women playing cricket. I can't imagine anything more boring.
They probably don't want you watching them.
But they need every pair of eyes they can get, surely.
That's also something.
Do they win stuff or are they?
I don't know how much money is also pumped into like the women's side of sport.
Not yet,
But dude, okay, so let me ask you this. Can you name one woman on the women's cricket team in South Africa?
I can't name one man.
Yeah, I probably would struggle with that too.
Cricket's a bad example, man.
I mean, no, that's not true. Temba Bavuma. Come on.
Fair, yeah,
okay. You can get that right. Who's the fuck? You don't know anyone in the women. They keep selling, and they're selling it hard, hey? They're like, oh, you... The female protea, the froteas is what Ben calls them, right? And then they try to like gin them up for us so that we must all be excited. I don't know any kids. I've got these nephews who are sport mad. If I asked them about the women's cricket team, they would think I'd had a stroke.
Yeah, but they are little boys. They're little girls who want to be cricketers.
Telling you little girls don't give a shit about women's cricket. I'm telling you. Watch someone, you know, quiz your daughter if you're on your way to school or something. No, I think it might be holidays or midterms or whatever. But if you've got your daughter in the car, ask her, like, name a female South African cricket player and see if she can come up with a name. They really are. It's all marketing and bullshit. Anyway,
lots
give me
of
some
money.
More.
Okay, so I'm going to start with golf because it's the most recent. Last night / early hours of this morning, a 20-year-old South African won the Rocket Classic.
Yes.
His name, Aldrich Potgieter.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah. Potgieter, Snotskieter.
That are him.
Look at him.
Ben says he looks like a lesbian.
Yeah, but you know what? He can really play some beautiful golf. I had this conversation with Ben. Ben can be very rude about other people's appearances.
How old did you say he is?
20.
20 years old.
Wow.
And he's just like... born and bred to play golf.
100%.
Absolutely loves it.
He shot a record-breaking round at the Detroit Golf Club this weekend. He went 7 under on the back nine. And had 5 birdies and an eagle. So he absolutely smashed the Rocket Classic.
By the way, I just want to say, we'll carry on celebrating South African sports wins in a moment, but someone's just come in and said, no, Desiree's Banyana's coach. She's not the cricket coach.
See, we're so good at the sport then.
Anyway, they're trying to sell that one to us
our point,
as well.
Actually. We just don't know.
See, nobody even knows who she's the coach for. That's how unimportant women's sport is in this country. All right. Go on, who else have we got?
More winnings. Cricket, obviously, we won the last week. The Proteas beat Australia in the final. Timpavuma bringing home the trophy for the boys. In the rugby sevens, the men's sevens team won the 2025 HSBC Sevens Series, beating Spain 19-5 in LA. And that happened in May 25. Leanne, you mentioned the athletics. Akani Simbini took home gold at the Botswana Grand Prix. Gold at the Xiamen Diamond League, gold at the Rabat Diamond League, and also anchored South Africa's relay team to win gold at the World Relays.
That's very good.
World Relay was amazing. 100%.
It was huge.
Wow.
That was during the course of April, May. We also took home gold. Golf, again, Dalen Naidoo claimed his first European Tour title at the Investec SA Open.
Hey, Dalen. Dalen Naidoo. We haven't heard of him before either. And frankly, I hadn't heard of this this other dude that you told me about, just now, Aldrich Portkiter, either until today. But this is great. Look, we're doing well. UFC, someone says?
UFC, we did. Drikus is world champion in his weight class at the moment. The rugby, here's a women's sport. South African Springbok women secured their fourth continental title with a dominant 61-17 win over Madagascar during the course of the Africa Women's Cup in rugby. That's something that the women's team won.
Mm-hmm. Justin Damon says, I'm not interested in women playing football, cricket or rugby. Women aren't interested in any of it either. It's meant to breed lesbianism. The cricket team can say they're batting for the other team. All right, good. I think you're probably closer to the mark than you think.
Gerda Steyn, obviously also, doing the iconic Comrades win this past June.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then as well as the under 20
winning is cool.
Cup of Nations, May 16th. The South African under 20s won the under 20 African Cup of Nations.
Okay, but now that's a very, very niche category that you're in. Under 20 at the African Cup of Nations, the under 20 team. It's like, okay.
Here's more niche. The Sasol Amawilis, which is the men's under 23 basketball team.
Can't they give them a better name?
I agree. That's Amawilis. That seems very wrong. That doesn't seem like it should be what we should call them.
Hey, what do you do? Play for the Amawilis. Get out of here.
I'm a polo.
Well, the Amawilis were crowned African champions in February this year of the wheelchair basketball.
Wheelies.
Amawilis.
Terrible name.
I agree.
I thought you were saying Willies.
No.
you would think they're the same if someone says it, though.
That's been the last few months for South Africans. We've really kind of actually done the most, especially in the world of athletics, rugby and cricket.
Well, I appreciate you trying to gin it up. Thank
I tried.
You. Well done. And there are lots of people there that we should be celebrating. I just think that when people are trying to sell you something and they're telling you it's so great, and then when you check it out, you're like, this is not great.
That's how I feel about most sports.
I'm in no position to give any point of view on whether or not a sport is tremendously exciting or not, because I just find all of it boring too. But I can tell that there's an extra amount of effort being put in to try and... You guys have got to watch Banyana.
Yeah.
Got to watch this. So amazing. And then everybody kind of goes...
There's a massive push in Europe and the UK, especially at the moment, for women's football. They call it the Women's Super League. And even Sky are starting to pump quite a lot of money into.
Yeah, but that's the media trying to do. Are the stadiums full?
No,
of course not
at all.
That'll tell you everything you need to know.
I mean,
here's an interesting comment from somebody. This is from Carl. He says, supply and demand. I can name 10 male Proteas easily. I can only name Holfart in the women's team. Is that a name? Holfart. Whole
Yeah, they do.
Holfart.
Holfart, yeah.
That's her name? Anyway, she's the one in the women's team, and only because her name is hilarious that he can remember it. Whole fart. Okay, there we go.
Even to the point where the Switzerland women's, this is their national women's team, their actual team. They played an under-15 boys team last week called Luzerne FC or something, and they lost 7-0. So even the caliber of sport quality is actually largely different. And I think that's what
I just think we have, you know, we've all moved on to a much more authentic and real world in the last 2 or 3 years. It really has changed. It continues to change. There are still people living in that world of political correctness and bullshit. There's still people who are living there. There's still people who are wearing masks. There are still people who are, like, they think it's 2020.
It's really weird.
And I hate to, I don't know how to explain this to them. Like, some of these are not stupid people, but clearly they've got, there's something missing. You want to walk up to them and shake them and go, no, those days are done now. You can't bully people into, you must like this and you mustn't say that. And it's just not going to work anymore.
It's like a really weird place of pushing against wokeness at the moment.
Yeah, and wokeness is dead. It's dead and in the coffin, and it's been nailed shut, and it's not coming out.
Do you think there'll be like a second wave of wokeness? Or
it won't happen. It won't happen in our lifetimes.
I don't know. It always has happened. I mean, history repeats itself. Look at the hippies.
Yeah, but you know, the hippies, I mean, people make fun of the hippies, and they had their time to shine in the 60s. But then after that, they became like a joke.
Well, same thing here, but it's going to reoccur.
Wokeism is a ridiculous thing. And I mean, you know, you've been in the media business for a while. You couldn't say certain stuff, and you couldn't get away with certain ideas. And, you know, the woke brigade would come and cancel you for anything. I just don't think they have the power anymore. And that way of thinking is dead. It's actually just embarrassing. It's kind of like being, you know, 1994 racist. It's just like, it's something so shit that people just go, one of those, are you?
Oh, I say it comes in waves.
Yeah, it will.
Look at the new Nazi movement in America.
Absolutely. It will come back, but it won't come back for a long time. It's at the moment, it's too shameful. If you genuinely believe those things right now, it's just embarrassing. People don't want to be with you.
I think things are different because of wokeism.
For sure.
We certainly aren't doing the things that we used to do years ago. It has changed.
Okay. Well, you may be giving me some examples, but we'll get to that. Apparently, Roldrol says wokeness is huge in the Netherlands. 1,700 protests per year in Den Haag.
Jeez, like.
I love what happened in The Hague this week, or last week. Donald Trump went there for NATO, right?
That's where our guy's from, by the way, Jan Buchel.
Oh, Jan Buchel. The
Netherlands.
That's, all right, yeah. You've still got to get him on the show.
I do. I've got his phone.
All right, so
now.
Den Haag, they had the NATO summit, and Donald Trump was there, and he basically went to tell the Europeans, you're going to have to pay for your own defense. Because, you know, NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, they've got an agreement. That's the whole reason NATO is a thing. It was started during the Cold War for the North Atlantic countries, which means Europe and America, effectively, to band together against the threat of war with the Soviet Union and its allies. So NATO has been around for years. America has pretty much paid for NATO, I think to the tune of some 80% of all the bills land on American taxpayers' laps. So American taxpayers are paying for the security of European citizens, which doesn't seem right. So you remember when Trump barged into that one in like 2016 when he was elected, and he like pushed all these European leaders aside and kind of looked down his nose at them, and people thought he was just very rude and uncouth. Well, he went this time, and the president,
sure, they were looking forward to that.
The president of NATO even called him daddy, said daddy's home.
Oh,
it's
ew.
So creepy, right? It's so creepy.
That's so weird.
But Donald Trump must have left there feeling very good, because they've all, with the exception of Spain, said that they're going to pay 5% more of each of their budgets towards their own security, which is great. Like, the children are actually looking after the children a little bit more. Mm. They're becoming more responsible. So daddy can like go back to doing what daddy does. He doesn't have to be at home making sure that the children are, you know, sucking the right tit or whatever. It's so embarrassing. I mean, really, Europe is just... Anyway. James, you still have to get a machosha, and why are you gay guy? Don't fill up his plate, Gareth.
Why are you gay?
Yeah, we need the why are you gay guy. We do need him. Let Ben handle UFC on Friday. James will just butcher it.
That's fair. That is actually fair.
Okay.
That is one sport I know very minimal about. One sport I do know a lot about, football. Club World Cup is still happening. It's almost finished. Sundowns, unfortunately.
Yeah, they were out already. We know that.
Are on their way home. Oh. So sad for them, but it is heating up.
Who's in there that we would care about, James?
No African teams left. Who you would care about, maybe, I'd say PSG, because they just won a Champions League, so they could win this one.
No, I don't care about
them. Real Madrid, because they're always the team to watch in these kinds of competitions. And that's about it. Chelsea fans, don't get your hopes up. Same for Bayern fans, I think.
I don't know if you saw this. It's 7 o'clock already, so we've got to take a break in a second. Don't know if you saw this, but Jared says he watched a bit of Glastonbury this weekend. You know, they had the Glastonbury Festival. Mm-hmm. And he said the hypocrisy is out of this world. 100,000 people who pay a minimum of £500 to watch overpaid music artists rant about human rights.
Good Lord.
I wouldn't go to Glastonbury. And it's muddy and gross.
Mm.
Stinking people. Hippies.
I saw the extent of capitalism at Glastonbury this weekend also, because I sometimes listen to like live music on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And what they have done this year is on the stage, behind the stage, is like this railing that they've built where they've got like obviously VVIP people that can now stand on the stage with them.
So other people have to look at them?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird, actually.
You know, it's everybody, it's just so unattractive that all these people are interested in attention. So unattractive. I want to pay, just think about what goes through someone's head, all right? I want to pay the organizers of Glastonbury a whole lot more money so that I can not only be in the front to watch the artists, which would be a perfectly acceptable thing. Let's say you're a massive music fan. I know, for example, Alanis Morissette was there. And she doesn't do a lot of shows anymore, but I reckon she probably would have done a good show. And maybe if you're a fan of hers, you would have paid some money to be there. But now you pay extra so you could be behind her so all the crowd have to look at you as well. Me, 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 me. Look at me. And then you probably, these people are doing dumb shit like they're grinding and gyrating.
Oh,
and
you
imagine like these losers who've paid a whole lot of money and then think that the crowd is going to... The crowd will not watch you. They don't care about you. Yeah. You're a distraction. You're like you're part of the set. You're not the reason
backstage.
They're there. You're not the artist.
You're the backup dancers.
Yeah, you're crappy backup dancers who don't know the moves. That's what you are. Fucking losers. Anyway, there was this guy called, I've never heard of him before in my life. He's like some dreadlocked artist. He goes up on stage and he starts singing Free, Free Palestine. And then he goes, Def, Def to the RDF. And I was like, God, you know, this is actually someone who is singing, chanting hate speech shit up there. And it's being broadcast on the BBC. It's just so embarrassing.
Even worse, his name is Bob Villain.
Bob Villain. Yeah, right. Bob Villain with a V-Y-L-A-N. And he's got such shit music. And this guy, you know, if you're a shitty musician, and there were a lot of musicians at Glastonbury, there always are. If you're a shitty musician, I suppose you have to have some angle, right? You have to have something that you could be. This is his thing. He was like, I know how to get the most attention. I know how to make this all about me. People are me experts, and not in the way that you think. They're experts at sucking all the air out of the room.
It's like, dude, we don't care about your opinion.
If we
want to hear your music.
All those people at Glastonbury were either on MDMA or mushrooms, or they were drunk out of their fucking minds. They are not there for politics.
It's the I know how to make a TikTok clip moment.
Right, and that's
exactly
what's happened.
What it is.
But I hope they arrest him. I hope they put him in jail. And I hope he stays there for a long time because you cannot ask a crowd of some 100,000 people to start chanting with you on essentially a death chant, a hateful, revolting thing to bring into what's meant to be some muddy hippie festival.
He did respond to the backlash.
What did he say?
He doubled down and he said, I said what I said.
Okay.
And that's what he's doubled down on.
They should just deport him from the UK and never allow him back. I don't know how you can think that that's okay in a civilized society. That goes for people who sing about killing people here in South Africa. Same thing. I'm going to be consistent about this. Bob villain.
Would it be like coercing hate speech to do something like this? To like
you see,
get people to say it with you?
If you actually say death to someone.
Right.
I mean, that's... It's not even arguable whether that's a political statement or not. You're saying that you want people in the Israeli Defense Force to be killed. There's no other way to interpret death to the IDF. Now, I don't care if you support Israel or you support the people of Gaza or Hezbollah or Hamas or Iran. That's entirely your business. You're allowed to support whoever you want. And I'm not going to tell you that you're a moron unless you're in my world and I'm having a discussion or a debate with you and you say moronic things. You're allowed to believe whatever stupid shit you want to believe. But to call out death to someone or to a group of people, to a bunch of people who are conscripted often, soldiers for the army that the country that they're trying to defend or that they're being given orders in, that to me, especially by a musician, just seems like, there he is. Yeah, he looks totally stable. If you're a musician asking for that, I can never be on your side. If you're a politician saying that, I can never be on your side. Don't say death to anyone. I don't want anyone to be dead. I don't like the idea of death. I was joking about the Ayatollah the other day. But I don't go to sleep at night going, oh, I wish they'd nuke that Ayatollah. I don't want that to happen. I don't think that America's that interested in regime change. I don't want them to be interested in regime change. I think the people of Iran should decide for themselves what happens. And I don't want them to do a Benito Mussolini and string the Ayatollah up and hang him from a pole. I would prefer this to be sorted out in an adult and mature and sensible way without anyone shouting death to anyone else. That would be quite nice. Hasn't the Middle East seen more than its fair share of death? Can we not get beyond this and start to cultivate a responsible, kinder, more sensible, more caring part of the world and attitudes which in some way engender that in that part of the world? I would love to see that. I would like to see less bombs and I would like to see people starting to treat each other with decency and respect. That would be really nice, don't you think? So Wade says, check out the Mud Wizard. Hippies on home turf are a force. Mari says, to listen to him singing, it was just horrific. The IDF have enough problems without their country and themselves, but his singing is just awful, says Mari. It's like this Nota guy in South Africa, race baiting over podcasts, just to be relevant and noticed. Yeah, he's like Temu Rage Against the Machine, says Anton. He also did the From the River to the Sea. Yeah, people love that one. You know, a dumb chant that you can memorize in 2 seconds flat. Maybe effective because a crowd of really, really low IQ people could start singing it. But I would like to bring back more complicated chants where people actually have to understand a whole lot. I mean, I'd like to bring back more complicated language, frankly, and better punctuation. For example, the other day I was saying, and you'll appreciate this as a bit of a pedant, Leanne. Mm. I know we got to take a break, Flex. I know. You're a pedant like I am, right? So I put up a tweet about Javier Milei, and I said, more inconvenient truth or more inconvenient facts or data from Argentina for socialists. But I realized it actually should have been more inconvenient data from Argentina, comma, for socialists or socialists or whatever it was. I mean, it's pedantry, but it means totally different thing. I'm not talking about Argentine socialists.
Yes.
I'm talking about socialists who are not in Argentina looking at Argentina and going, oh, our stuff doesn't work again.
Yeah.
Right?
Can change everything.
Yep, it does. And I know you love a little bit of grammar and punctuation. I know you do. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Lots going on today, lots to discuss. And Des Latham joining us in a short while to talk about history. Don't go anywhere.